Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza. And they left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. But then over here in verse 11, I think we need to read this verse. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, which pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. Let me read that again. There came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, which pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. If I were to take a portion of that scripture, I would just say, just bring this to your attention. Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Also, there is power in prayer. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're going to do in this house today. I thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you for healing, virtue, and power. I thank you, Lord, for strength. I thank you, God, that your Word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. It will prosper in that which you sent it to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to talk to you today on the thought, cross the line. Cross the line. Look at somebody and tell them, say, neighbor, you need to cross the line. Yeah. I've been hearing this in my spirit for days, and the Lord's been stirring this in my heart about cross the line. Cross the line. You've crossed the line. Anybody ever heard that? Has that ever been said to you? You've crossed the line. Well, I'm sure you've heard that phrase used before. I know I've used it, and I've heard it used before. It usually means that you've crossed a boundary, and it may be a boundary of acceptable behavior. It may be that you said something that violated or crossed that boundary. It may be that somebody has acted inappropriately toward you and have crossed that line, and they have lost your respect. When I was a child, sometimes at the point of confrontation, one kid would draw a line in the sand or in the dirt and dare the other to cross it. If the challenge was accepted and the line was crossed, it meant you were committed. It meant that there's no turning back now. It meant that there's no more words. It's time to fight. Everybody say, cross the line. Now, there's many lines in this world, or boundaries, if you will. Some are invisible, yet they're no less real. There's a line where water turns into ice. There's a line where water turns into steam. There's a line where speed catches up to sound and penetrates a barrier called the sound barrier. There's a line between right and wrong, between good and bad. There's a line between true and false. There's a line between pure and perverse. And there's a line between spectator and participator. This line that I'm talking about today is called the point of no return. Oh, hallelujah. Every pilot knows that takeoff and landing can be the most dangerous points of any flight. Every pilot knows that there's a time during the takeoff procedure that is called the point of no return. Although there's no visible line on the runway, every pilot knows that it's there. It's just before liftoff. It's at that point the aircraft is going at such a speed it has to reach for the sky. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say reach for the sky. Yeah, the plane has to be airborne at this point. At this point, the pilot understands that it must be airborne because it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what emergency might be on board. At this point, there is no turning back. It's the point of no return. You can't change your mind. You can't decide you don't want to go at this point. You can't say, I don't want to go on this trip. I want to back out. You can't do it because to try and abort at this point would be certain death. At this point, instead of saying we've just passed the point of no return, you may more likely hear the pilot say we're committed, which means the same thing. We're in it all the way. Oh, hallelujah. We've come too far to turn back. Either we fly or we crash. In other words, there's no in between. We have crossed the line. Somebody say, cross the line. Cross the line. I came today to tell you and to prophesy and preach to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and under a directive of the Holy Spirit to tell you today that God is calling His people to commitment. God is not looking for half-hearted, half-baked, half-in, half-out, half-up, half-down, maybe yes, and maybe no Christians. God is looking for committed Christians. He's looking for people that will cross the line. Hallelujah. Somebody say, cross the line.
Cross the line.
Now say, all the way.
All the way.
Say, all in.
All in.
How many's ever heard the story of Eutychus? Somebody said, no, I don't know if I've heard that or not. Well, let me just refresh your memory. There was a young man named Eutychus. And Paul the Apostle was preaching one day, and he was up in the third story of a house preaching. And while he was preaching, Eutychus got a little bored, maybe, about what was being preached. I'm not sure, but the Bible says that he was sitting in the window seat, which is not a very good place to sit. He was sitting right over here in a window three stories up, and he was sitting in that open window. And the Bible says that while Paul was long in preaching, he sunk down. He got sleepy. And you know what? He eventually fell out of that window from three stories up. And do you know why he fell out? Because he was a little more out than in. He fell out because he wasn't all in. Are you hearing me, friend? I'm being a little comical, but I'm being as serious as I can be. This is no time to be half in and half out. This is no time to be half committed. This is no time to be a part way. This is no time. You know, there's a story about the chicken and about the pig, and they're walking down the road together, and they looked up and they saw a restaurant, and the chicken looked over at the pig, and he said to the pig, he said, man, he said, I'd like some breakfast. He said, how about you? He said, oh yeah, I said, I'd like some breakfast too. So the chicken said, well, I'm willing, how about you? And the pig said, hey, look, and he said, you know what? He said, for you, it's just a little contribution. For me, it's the whole hog. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, there are a lot of people in the church that are willing to give a little contribution, but they're not willing to go whole hog. God's not looking for just contribution. God's wanting the whole hog. Somebody say all in.
All in.
Say cross the line.
Cross the line.
See, I'm sorry to say today that there is a line, and this is a line that many Christians never cross. They go to church, they sing, they shout, they speak in tongues maybe, dance every once in a while, and yet never cross the line. That line I'm speaking is the battle line. It's the battle line. It's the place of commitment. It's the place where words are not enough. It's the place where we put up or we shut up. It's where the war is being waged. It's where you're all in, no turning back. You've passed the point of no return. You can't back up. You can't back down. There's no retreat. Everybody say, no retreat.
No retreat.
Say, I've crossed the line.
I've crossed the line.
Say, no return.
No return.
Throughout the scriptures, God shows us men and women who have crossed that line. They left the safety of the stands behind them and they got out onto the battlefield. Deborah was one of those people that crossed the line. She was the judge of Israel. She didn't just sit back and talk about it. She went into the battle. She led the battle. Elijah crossed that line on Mount Carmel. Either fire would fall from heaven on that mountain or he would die on that mountain. David crossed that line when he faced off with Goliath. Either he was going to kill Goliath or he was going to die trying. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 and 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and they were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and they pitched between Shoco at Azekah in Ephesdamim. That word Ephesdamim means boundary of blood. In other words, what it means is it means the point of no return. In other words, what it means is if you come to this point, you're willing to die for what you believe in. If you come to this point, you're willing to shed blood for what you believe in. Somebody say, cross the line. Would you just lift your hands for just a minute? I feel the Holy Ghost doing something in this house today. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Gideon, in my text that I read to you, he had crossed the line. I read to you how that the Midianites would come down against the children of Israel. And the Bible says that they had made them caves and dens and strongholds in the mountains. And when the Midianites would come in to destroy everything that the Israelites had sown, they would run back up into the hills and they would hide, and the enemy would come in and would destroy everything that was left. But I came to tell you there was a man named Gideon, and I read to you today how Gideon threshed wheat. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, Gideon somehow was able to cross that line, get down to where the harvest was, and reap his own harvest of the seed that he had sown. He had crossed the line. I'm talking to people today who it's time to cross the line. It's time to cross the line between fear and doubt, between worry. It's time to cross the line between maybe in and maybe out, halfway in and halfway out. It's time to cross the line. Everybody say, cross the line. While the children of Israel were hiding from the enemy in strongholds and caves and dens in the mountains, Gideon was breaking through. Gideon was taking what the enemy had marked for destruction, and our text finds Gideon threshing wheat, oh hallelujah, in the winepress, which means he had harvested what he had sown. He had crossed the line. Time and time again, God pledges himself in the scripture to be the helper and the strength of his people of Israel. He is their rock. And as their rock, no enemy could resist them. It did not matter how big or how strong, with God as their rock, there was no battle that could not be won. Somebody say, God is my rock.
God is my rock.
With God as your rock, hear me today, with God as your rock, there is no battle that cannot be won.
Amen.
That's the worth, the price of the admission right there. If God is your rock, there is no battle that cannot be won. Time and time again, God pledges himself through the scripture to be their rock, to be their helper, to be their strength. And as long as God was their rock, they could not be defeated. There was no battle that could not be won. On the other hand, when they were in disobedience and when they were in rebellion to God and to his word, even the smallest, now this is going to get a little sticky, even the smallest and the weakest adversary became a source of defeat and humiliation. Such was the case with the city of Ai, a small city, no threat, no sweat, with the God of Israel as our rock. Oh, Joshua and the children of Israel were feeling big, and they were feeling strong, and they were feeling bold, and they had won the great battle of Jericho, and the walls had fallen down before them, and they thought, oh, hallelujah, we're going to go in here, and this is no sweat. We're not even going to have to work up a sweat, so we're not going to take the whole army. We're just going to send a few thousand men over there, and they'll take the city. But they came back with their tails between their legs because they had forsaken God as their rock because of the disobedience of Achan. He had disobeyed God. He had put his hand to the accursed thing, and he had stolen and he had rebelled against God, and they had lost the protection of their rock. Joshua 6:18 said, if you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had forsaken them? The Lord had sold them. What's that mean? That means a little city called Ai that should have been no sweat. They should have easily been able to overcome it. They were defeated and they ran from their enemies because they had forsaken their rock. They stay with the rock. Your safety's with the rock. When God was their rock, victory was assured. Oh, Russia. When God was their rock, their righteousness gave them boldness against their enemies. Righteousness produces boldness against the enemy. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So here are God's people, his chosen Israel. And, oh, hallelujah. But instead of subduing nations and tearing down strongholds, they're hiding from the enemy in our text because of sin in their lives. And here's the problem we face so often. Just like the children of Israel, many times we would rather retreat than repent. We would rather back up and slack off, let up, sneak off, hide out, than to come clean with God and admit that we have been stubborn and selfish and rebellious. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody say, preach, brother. Thank you. Hallelujah. I needed that. I needed that encouragement today. For 7 years, watch this. I'm not just talking. I'm preaching from the Bible. For 7 years, Israel gave up their rightful harvest because they were not willing to repent. For 7 years, friend, they let the enemy come in and steal their harvest because they were not willing to repent. I'm sure they would dream about and talk about their harvest and sing and dance in anticipation of harvest time and how next time they were going to stand their ground and they were going to drive off the invaders. But when the time came and the enemy came, fact is they were not willing to cross the line and they would stay hid out in the cave. And the dens. Pastor, what are you talking about today? This message this morning is to help us cross the line. To help us come out of our hiding places. To leave the comfort of our caves of self-preservation. To engage the enemy. To get out of the stands and onto the field. Jesus said the fields are white already to harvest. And countless thousands are perishing at the hands of the enemy because so many of God's people are living weak, shallow, selfish, stubborn, and carnal lives. Instead of confronting the enemy and bringing the harvest, we're too often found hiding out in caves of self-indulgence and strongholds of fear and doubt and self-preservation. Friend, how long can we sit back and hide out while multiplied thousands of souls are being swept into an eternal hell? How can we be at rest in our caves of self-preservation and convenience while our loved ones are being destroyed by enemies of lust, of perversion, of drug addiction, of alcoholism, of covetousness, of greed, of sorcery and witchcraft, of homosexuality and lesbianism? Friend, listen to me. I'm trying to help you today. The enemy is not really too concerned about our sewing. He's not really too concerned about our singing. He's not really too worried about our dancing and our shouting. Even all our preaching and our teaching doesn't really bother him as long as we stay hid out in our caves. As long as we stay behind the line. As long as we don't cross the line, we're no threat to hell. As long as nobody gets saved, as long as nobody gets delivered, as no long as marriages are not restored, as no long as no broken homes are mended, as long as no one is filled with the Holy Ghost, as long as there's no conviction of sin, as long as our prayers are selfish and shallow, the devil don't care. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to live long enough to make the devil sorry for what he did in the garden. I want to live long enough to make the devil sorry for attacking your family, to make him sorry for attacking your bodies, to make him sorry for making your life miserable, to make him sorry for attacking my body. I want to live long enough to make him sorry that he stuck up his ugly head in your marriage. I want to live long enough to put my foot on his head and let the devil know there's still somebody that will cross the line. There's still somebody that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's still somebody that's going to lift up the bloodstained banner and that's going to preach the truth.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know about you, there's things that stir my heart. I see people dancing up to the line today, but they won't come over. There's the line. Dance all around that line. Woo! Go, Jesus! There's your great Lord, but they know if they ever cross that line, the fight is on. They know if they ever cross that line, you're going to have to put up or shut up. They know if they ever cross that line, persecution's coming, criticism's coming. So they stand behind that line. Oh, Lord, you're good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you're good. I was listening to this man the other day. They had him on there on Facebook with beside Oprah Winfrey. And now he's become an advisor to her. He at one time had a huge mega church. Then he began to lead people away from the gospel, away from the word of God. And so, and every generation has its particular evil that attacks it. One generation it was abortion. This generation it's homosexuality and lesbianism. That's what we're facing. That's the major attack upon the church and upon the body of Christ. And so Oprah Winfrey, she asked him, she said, how close do you think the church is to accepting homosexuality as a lifestyle, accepting it? He said, I think culture is already ready, he said. And he said, and the church, he said, is really close. And he said, and the church needs to realize, and this is a man who at one time pastored a mega church. And he said, the church needs to realize that as long as they keep quoting letters that are 2,000 years old, they're not going to be relevant
to their world and their society. So he said, I believe that society is ready. And if the church is going to be relevant, the church is going to have to quit quoting, what is he talking about? The Bible. The church is going to have to quit going back to the Bible as being their standard, my friend. The Bible is the only standard we have.
Amen.
If we do away with the Bible, we have no standard.
That's right.
Everything that we believe, everything we proclaim, everything we live by, everything we preach, we do it according to the Word of God. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is His Word that guides our life. It is His Word that establishes our life. It is His Word that protects us and preserves us and keeps us. It is His Word that heals us and delivers us. It's His Word, my friend. My friend, it's time that we understand we're going to have to cross the line, because it's not about being relevant from a social standpoint or a cultural standpoint. It's about being faithful to the Word of God. It's about standing squarely on the Word and saying, this is what God says, and I believe what God says, and I don't care what society says. I don't care what this culture says. I'm going to take my place with the Word of God. I'm going to cross the line, and I'm going to be counted for the Lord, who is on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are backing up all the time.
Yeah.
Backing up from that line more and more. You hear them. They're backing up from the line that the Word of God draws, because the Word does, it does draw a line.
Yes, it
does. It makes a line. It makes it clear. And they're backing up from it all the time.
Yeah.
Because they don't want persecution. Because they don't want to be ridiculed. Because they want to be relevant. My friend, listen to me, and I'm saying this with all the love I can. What good is it to you and to me if we're relevant to our society and our world, and we all go to hell together? You can be relative and be wrong. Just because you can relate to people doesn't mean you're relating to them on the level of truth. It has always been the responsibility of the pulpit to be a dispenser of truth.
Amen.
Regardless of the criticism, regardless of the persecution.
Yes. Yes.
Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Right. Yes.
But I believe today that in this house, in this church, among this people, we're a people that have determined we're crossing the line. We're crossing the line. We're taking back our families. We're taking back our children. We're taking back our marriages. We're taking back the presence and the power and the glory of God in our midst, because we're crossing the line. Somebody lift your hands right now. Just lift your hands in this house. Lift your hands and tell the Lord, we're going to cross that line. We're crossing the line. You might as well understand it. You might as well understand it, devil. We're crossing the line. We're not going to sit back and watch you destroy everything we've worked for. Sit back and watch you destroy our harvest. We're going to cross the line. We're going to take it all back. I'm almost done. The scripture is talking about Moses. He comes down from the mountain. He's got 10 commandments in his hand God has given him for the people. He looks at the people. The people have turned away from God. The Bible says, Exodus 32, 19 and 20, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Moses was angry with Aaron. Aaron was the priest of God. Aaron was to lead the people correctly, lead them in the things of God, lead them in the right things of God. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Moses said, Aaron, how did this people twist your arm? How did they put the pressure on you to make you lead them into such great sin? Now listen, watch this. And they said unto me,
Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. He's been up in the mountain for 40 days or 40 nights. We don't know what's become of him. Maybe he died up there. And I said to them, now watch Aaron. Oh my goodness. I said to them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire. And lo, this golden calf jumped right out of the fire. Wow. Everybody say liar. Yeah. I just threw the golden earrings in the fire, and whoa, out come this golden calf. Watch Moses. Verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made. He formed it. He shaped it. Just like God told him not to do. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. He did exactly what God said not to do. And he said, Moses took the calf which they had made. He burnt it in the fire. He ground it to powder. And he strawed it upon the water. And he made the children of Israel drink of it. I want you to see what Moses did. Now, friend, listen. Understand this. This is a graphic picture of how graphic God is about our commitment to Him. He says in verse 26-27, then Moses stood in the gate. This is almost too violent. It's almost too aggressive. It's almost too intense to even comprehend. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered unto him. And Moses, number one, called for a separation. He demanded that those who were for God would make their choice clear. He demanded, number two, that those who chose the Lord's side would take their swords and slay everyone who chose to stand against God. Verse 27, he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. What is the point, friend? This is the point. God is serious. There is no gray area. There is no gray area. You are either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. I know it's not popular, friend, but it's the truth. You are either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattering abroad. Somebody say, who is on the Lord's side? Say, I am on the Lord's side, because I have crossed the line. Same thing. I'm almost done. The same thing happened on Mount Carmel after the fire fell. They took all the false prophets and slew them at the brook Kidron. What is the point? The point is this. You must choose a side. The point is this. There's no such thing as being neutral. You can't be in the middle. There's no gray area. There's so much preaching today that leaves so much gray area that you can just wander around in the middle somewhere, friend. Friend, we have responsibility. God is going to hold me responsible. And every pastor and every leader and every minister that stands behind a pulpit or stands in front of a people and leaves the area gray, we have got to draw the line and make it clear so people can get on one side or the other. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's only two places to go. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. It's either going to be with God in a place called heaven, or it's going to be with the devil and all his angels in a place called hell. I know it's not popular, but it's true. And I know people will look at me and people will talk about me and people will say, that preacher is mean. And that preacher is preaching hate. I'm telling you, my heart is stirred. I'm concerned. Because there's so many people that are erasing the line today. The Bible says, woe unto those that move the ancient landmarks. Woe unto those. There are people today that are standing behind the pulpits and they're moving the landmarks. They're backing up the landmarks. They're saying, where God said don't go there, they're saying, oh, you can go there now because the landmark's way back here. Friend, listen. The Word never
changes. The word never changes. What was wrong is wrong. What is right is right. Wrong never becomes right. Right never becomes wrong. White will never be black. Black will never be white. God is calling us to a separated life. He's calling us to cross the line. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. And friend, listen, there's no such thing as purgatory, an in-between place. And there's no such thing as reincarnation. You don't get to keep on coming back and try to get this thing right. You get it right the first time, or it's over. You get one shot at this. One time around. It's serious. When you take your last breath and your heart strikes its final beat, you're either going to wake up in heaven or you're going to wake up in hell. That's how serious it is. And I believe today in this house, and I believe all around the world, and I believe everyone that's listening to this message by way of podcast or however they're getting this message, I believe today the Holy Spirit is urging us, and the Holy Spirit is calling out to us, and He's saying it's time to cross the line. It's time to declare yourself. Whose side are you on? Would you stand with me today? Kalabashatalabakaya. You know, they used to make altar calls and they used to say, if you need the Lord, you don't know Jesus, you want to receive Jesus into your heart, the altar's open. Jesus was not ashamed of you. He said, if you're ashamed of me in the midst of this wicked, crooked, perverse generation, He said, I'll be ashamed of you when I stand before the Father and all His holy angels. He said He was not ashamed of us. We're not to be ashamed of Him. But you know what? We've got real modern today. We've got real technological now. We don't make altar calls like that anymore. We just say, just receive Jesus. Just accept Him as your Savior. I said, it's not about me wanting to embarrass anybody. But it's about me asking you today, how many in this house are ready to cross the line? Amen. How many in this house are ready to say, I'm on God's side? I want you to come. Come on. If that's you, you said, I'm on God's side. Come on, I want you to come. We're serious about this. We're choosing the Lord's side. We're choosing the Lord's side. You say, will it cost me? Yes, my friend, it will cost you. It may cost you some friendships.
That's right.
It may cost you some friendships.
Amen.
It may cost you some relationships. It may cost you some business. It may cost you some money. I don't know what it's going to cost you. It may cost you some reputation. I don't know. If people might look at you different, talk about you different, think about you different. I don't know. But the Bible says count the cost. And I tell you something, heaven is cheap at any price. Whatever you got to pay to go to heaven is worth it. If you have to lose every friend you have and get all new friends, it'll be worth it. Somebody said, well, do I have to tell my friends that they can't hang around me? I can't hang around them anymore. Don't worry about it. Just cross the line.
Amen.
They'll decide.
They won't be there.
Glory.
It's serious. It's so serious. It's so serious. It's so real. We're getting ready to pray. I heard him talk just recently about Donald Trump, and I'm not endorsing anybody right now. I'm just telling you, pray about who you vote for. But I heard them talking about Donald Trump, and they were talking about how he'd been talking to individuals, and they've been baiting him about the same-sex marriage and his stand on it, and would he come over to their side. And you know, what I saw Donald doing is kind of just testing the water. Just like putting a little toe out there, you know, not taking a real stand against it, but not taking a stand for it. Just kind of like, well, you know, this, you know, it could be possible. You know, let me just get right out here in this gray area. Yeah. And there's no gray area.
No,
that's right.
There's no gray area.
You get rich and answer.
I want you to take hands, everyone in this house today. We're of like spirit in this house.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. We need the strength of one another. We are, and I'm not saying this to be frightful or fearful, but I'm telling you, we're getting ready to move into some darker times. Darker times are coming to America. Darker times are coming against the church. And never, like never before, we need the support of one another. And we need the support of one another across the line. I need your support because I've crossed the line. I can't be strong if I'm holding you and you're holding me and you're back there on the other side of the line. I need you beside me. I need you beside me. And if you're beside me, I pray with you. I can encourage you. I can help you. We can be strong together. I want us today, right now, I want us to make a new commitment and a new covenant with God today. That we're crossing the line. No matter what it costs us, no matter what we have to give up, no matter what we got to let go, no matter what might come our way, we're crossing the line today. We have made our choice. Come on, tell the Lord right now, Father, in this house, Lord, we choose today to cross the line. We heard the Holy Spirit say, who is on the Lord's side? And we choose your side. We choose the Lord's side today, God. Lord, no matter who that puts us against, no matter what agenda that puts us against, no matter what political agenda that puts us against, Lord, we choose your side. We are for your kingdom. We are for righteousness. We are for truth. We are for holiness. We are for faithfulness. We are for purity. We are for righteousness, Lord. Lord, and I pray for my brothers and my sisters today, as we are holding hands, Lord. God, let the unity of the Holy Spirit flow through this house right now, God. And let the strength of the Holy Spirit flow, God. Lord, as we are holding hands, as we are joined together in our faith, Lord. As we are joined together in our love for you, God. Let your strength pour into them today, God. Let your life pour into them today, God. Empower them, Lord, to be witnesses, Lord. Empower them to stand for righteousness, Lord. Empower them, Lord God, to walk uprightly before you. God, we don't have to bow to the music of this world. We don't have to bow, Lord, to the spirit of this world, God. We don't have to bow to the seduction of this world, God. Lord, but we bow to only one. We bow to you, Lord Jesus. We bow to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pledge our allegiance to you. Lord, we crossed the line today, and we're not going back. We crossed the line today, God. We're committed, Lord. We passed the point of no return. There's no backing up, Lord. There's no slacking off, God. There's no retreat, Lord God. We passed the point of no return, and now like the airplane, Lord, we're reaching for the sky, Lord. We're reaching for the greater glory, God. We're reaching for the power and the anointing of your Spirit, God. We're reaching for your signs and your wonders and your miracles. We're reaching for your kingdom, Lord, to be manifested in our lives and in our works, God.
He said, I'm going to have a tried people. I'm going to have a separated people. I'm going to have a pure people. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. Contrary to what you think, and contrary to what the world makes us think or tries to make us believe, you won't lose your impact. You won't lose your relativity. Your impact will be stronger than ever before. Your impact will be stronger than ever before. Because there are people out there that are saying, please, somebody
Show me what it looks like to have a relationship with God. Somebody show me what it looks like to walk uprightly before God. Somebody show me what it looks like to hold up the standard and to not bow to everything and everyone and every wind of doctrine that's blowing through the land. Somebody show me. And contrary to what the world wants you to believe, and even what the religious order wants us to believe, we won't lose our impact. Our impact will become greater. Our impact will become greater. Because there's a world that's lost and dying. Let me tell you something. Your family members, I heard a young lady say just the other day, she was ministering, and she stood up and she gave a short bit of a testimony. She said, I was saved many, 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 many years ago. And she said, I've been up and I've been down. I've been in and I've been out. I've been in, I've been out, I've been up and I've been down. And she said, one day, one of her family members came to her and said, I've seen you up and down, and I've seen you in and out. Where are you now? She said that impacted her more than anything. Because all of a sudden she began to realize people are watching my life. And the impact that she could have had on them had she lived a stable, faithful, dependable, trustworthy, separated life. We're going to make a difference in this world. Because Christ in us is greater than anything that's in this world. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands one more time. And let's just give Him praise in this house today. Let's praise Him. He loves us so much. Lord, You never said it would be easy. You never said it would be easy. Lord, You never said there wouldn't be a cost, a price to be paid. But You said that You would give us the power. You said that You would never leave us. You'd never forsake us, Lord, that You'd go with us all the way. And Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, that You're strengthening Your people today. I thank You that there's a special anointing that's coming upon us to live holy. There's a special anointing that's coming upon us, Lord, to live sanctified, separated, consecrated, holy lives. And I thank You, God, that we are going to make a difference. We are making a difference. We are making a difference in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look not to the left nor to the right, but lift up your eyes, saith the Lord, and look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. For as you keep your eyes upon me, saith the Lord, there will be a fresh supply of my spirit. There will be a fresh supply of my anointing, saith God. There will be a fresh supply of my power, saith the Lord. Yea, and I will lift you up above the shadows. I will lift you up above the muck and the mire, saith God. Yea, and I will set thy feet upon solid ground. I will set your feet upon a high place, saith God. And I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, saith God. I will bless thee for your faithfulness. I will reward thee for your faithfulness, saith God. Know that I am looking, even this day, is the Lord looking, and the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth, seeking that He may show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are upright before Him. Yea, and I have found thee, saith the Lord. I have found thee, my eyes have found thee. And I will bless you, saith God. And I will strengthen you, saith the Lord. And you shall see the fruit of your labor. And you shall eat the fruit of your labor. And it shall not be devoured by the devourer, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It is not in vain. It is not in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just turn around, shake hands, hug necks, love one another, bless each other. Amen. We need each other. I love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for responding to the Word of God today. Hallelujah.